Awesome. All right. Thanks, Janelle, Sandy. We're going to watch a video in a moment, and we're going to turn all the lights off for this, and then we'll turn them back on again. But, it's week two of Our Story, Our Future. It's good that everyone's got a brochure. I'm really glad that we all have one of those this morning. And I'm also just want to say, for those, I saw a lot more people this morning that came to church on time or early. Give yourselves a pat on the back. Come on. I mean, I know some of you guys travel a fair way, but you're here. Awesome. Thanks, guys. You know, John said it really well last week, you know. We should get to church on time, but also we should come to church every week. We don't know what God might do for us by coming to church. I know, you know, if you're a shift worker and there's various things, but if we're here in the state, I mean in Perth, I mean, I guess, in the state, come on, we can do this together. We could really build towards March 30. We could. And I'm trusting that together as we rely on God, that miracles are going to unfold in your life over the next 12 months. We're going to hear more stories of the good news of what God is in your world. Amen? Okay, let's watch this video. Turn the house lights off. This is our story, our future. Maybe turn these off, thanks.
Good morning, church. My name's Dom Sinek, and my wife Deanne and I have been members of this church since 1996. And today we're going to do a small presentation about our story, our future. And today we're going to be just thinking back about all the different venues that this church has been in. For the first 10 years, we moved from location to location, starting first at the East Fremantle Club and those million-dollar views that we were often distracted by because, unfortunately, Pastor would stand in the way. From there, we went to the dungeon in the South Fremantle Football Club. Finally, we went to what we called the cave up on Hampton Road, and where we would have to carry prams and wheelchairs and anything with wheels up and down the flight of stairs every Sunday. As you sit back and watch this video, we pray that you would prayerfully consider how you can contribute to our story, our future.
The first memory I have is being probably about 5 years old. And coming down really early when we were at the tennis club and helping Dad put the signs out. And so he would let me have the sign and I'd go running, I'd put it down. And I remember this one time running down the hill and then like sliding on this sand and running and just grazing my knee like 7:30 in the morning and just like crying like a little girl and then being taken home by Dad after doing all the signs.
There was a stage, and the churches that I've been to, there's not been a stage, and there was, you know, microphones and guitar players, and you know, so that was new to me, and I liked the music straight up. I liked the form of worship, and that was up at the cave. That was what we called the cave in Ray Avenue.
My favourite memory of C3 Church was when he healed my knee. That was just truly awesome.
The things I like about this church is the people who come to this church. They really do care for each other, help each other, and encourage each other.
I love the church because the people are friendly, like Pastor Charlie, Pastor Andrea, and Pastor Nigel, Pastor Helen. They are very supportive to us.
That we get to go to kids' church. And we do lots of fun things.
What I like about church is that the community, it's really great at church, and also the music and, like, it just get in the groove of the church. It's really cool.
To experience more of the Holy Spirit in all the facets. So I'm expecting more miracles. I'm expecting that there will be miracles of healing.
I just look forward to the day that we have 500 people streaming in and out of this house and just making a great impact upon the city of Perth.
Well, let's give everyone a hand. And let's give Dave Langlands a huge hand. Now, Ben and Avina have been doing the videoing, but the actual editing, Dave's just spent hours. Wasn't that awesome? Thanks, Dave. And, you know, we've got two more of different ones coming. Who's going to be in church next week? So that's cool. All right. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. Wes, you've got your hand up because I'm supposed to release you to go to, you're going to go to Youth Connect. Go on then. Take the young guys, the young leaders. Youth Connect is on. If you're 12, how old is it? 12 to, Wes? 12? Yeah. Year 7 to 9. If you're in year 7 to 9. Apparently, I'm too boring for them. No, it was a joke. They're normally, every second week we run Youth Connect so that they have a good time as well. And it looks like the group has grown. That's cool, isn't it? All right. So, next week, can I encourage you to come to church? And the week after? And the week after that? Let's be in church. God's up to something here. And we also have our guests, Tim and Kiralee Lowe from God in the City, which... Claire mentioned, so it's going to be a great service next week as well, and the ladies' event on the Saturday, don't forget to register for that, and some of us are going to have a great time with Tim too, one of the evening Saturday night. All right, I want to talk this morning from Psalm 78, I want to read to you from the New Living Translation, Psalm 78. Isn't it funny? You always mark it and then it's on. You get up here and it's gone. Psalm 78, verse 1 to 4. O my people, listen to my teaching. Open your eyes to what I am saying. For I will speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past. Stories we have heard and know, stories our ancestors handed down to us. We will not hide these truths from our children. But we will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord. We will tell of His power. Say it with me. We will tell of His power and the mighty miracles He did. That's a good reason to keep the good news stories going, isn't it? Right there. And but what the writer of the psalm is saying is, our history becomes our story. Not how good, now, don't hear me wrong here, but we can have good stories. I have great stories. I'm sure you have some great stories. I love hearing your stories. I have great stories of old surfing trips that I've been on. Some of you might have great fishing trips and how big the fish really was. But I want to see the photo evidence first, okay? And, that's all really important. It's good to have those good stories. But those stories are only for this life. And what the psalmist is saying is that we, as we shift our eyes and our focus, which John talked about last week, about positioning ourselves, this week I want to talk about His power. And as we position ourselves, that our greatest purpose is to tell the stories that God is doing in our lives. They don't just last temporarily. You know, it's one of those things. You know, I've had a great surf one day, perhaps, and then the next day the weather's bad or I'm on holidays or something, and you can actually get quite annoyed. But you're never like that with God. God's a whole different... When you're actually in the world that God wants you to be in, it's not annoying, it's actually liberating. And no matter the season you're in, God is good. So this morning, let's live lives that accomplish what God is doing by stepping out. The Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God. I'm trusting that we keep stepping out of the boat, as it were, and tell great stories. Let me tell you about our story, or your story, as point one of this message this morning. You know, you've got some stories. We've heard good news stories over the last months. You know, but what about my children sometimes ask me? I mean, both of them are pretty much adults now, and sometimes when Mum and I are just, you know, sitting around, maybe at the dinner table, and said, well, what was it like in the early days, Dad? Because they were quite young when we shifted. And, you know, Andrea and I have said stuff like, well, we used to store all this sound equipment in our front room of our house. And Dad didn't do this job. We're talking 18 years ago. Dad was actually, I still to this day don't know why I made this decision, but because I thought it would be part-time, I decided that I would do this lawn mowing business. And so I used to cut people's lawns and then try and do, you know, the stuff to build the church or connect with people in those other times. You know, what I was supposed to be like for 1 or 2 years ended up being for 7 years. And my mind of it in part-time, I think it was even a bit longer. It's, you know, in the last 10 years, I was thinking about this, it's only been really the last 10, 12 years that we've actually been able to have proper staff and other staff members apart from myself, and the church has grown. You know, some of those years were tough, but I'm glad that we stuck to the vision that God has for us as a church. I remember one day, we used to have kids' church at the East Randall Football Club, and the only place the kids, and one day the kid, there was a lot of kids, like by a lot I mean about 8 children. For us that was a lot of kids. We were like, yeah. You've got to start somewhere, don't you? I think we have about our average of around 60 kids every week now in kids' church. And I think God's faithful, my wife and Helen and... some of those original members, Deanne was under the stairs one day, Dom's wife, you know, under the stairs with these 8 kids because that's the only spot they had for kids' church. You know, at the bottom of the stairwell. Why am I saying that? Because I think we need to look beyond what it seems like at the time. We have to realize that there is a process and a plan that God has for our lives that always starts with seemingly insignificance. Because in the same moment, he wants to test our hearts and see what we're going to do. And can I say again, and I've been saying it a lot, as for me and my house, we will. Let's just serve the Lord. Ultimately, God's going to make things happen. But let's, you know... but it wouldn't have happened if we hadn't had a greater vision and people around us and people that have now joined us and have made the church what it is. Who's glad to be a part of C3 Fremantle today? It's got a story. That story goes way back. It goes way back before the church was even planted. You know, God is amazing. I love that we might go through stuff, and sometimes when I was mowing those lawns, you know, vibrations all the time, all day long. Like, a lot of times it was 12-hour days. I had to provide for my young family, you know. I mean, Sarah was probably about 2 or 3 years old, and I remember Jared would follow me around with a toy lawnmower. He wouldn't do that now, I can assure you. (Laughter) But they're great stories, aren't they, son? He's not looking at me. They're great stories about what God's done and the faithfulness of God. See, the psalmist is bringing home something here about the importance from history. Look at verse 7. Each generation set its heart anew on God. So that when we have a story to tell, each generation will set its heart anew on God. So when we have a story to tell, not just Nigel, not just Andrea, not just the pastors here, not just the music team, but each one of us have a story to tell about what God is doing in our life. Each one of us. Now, why is that really important? Well, I don't know about you, but I look now, my son driving around a lawnmower, but what's he doing now? And I think about those stories that are going to happen because we're in the house of God. We've got a vision beyond our work. As important as that is, I know everyone has to work. They're not like me. I do work, by the way. But the vision that we can tell, and they can see too. Because children, once they get to about 6 or 7, they know. They know. And they can look back and go, well, I'm glad that mum and dad led us to the house of God. And sometimes that's tough, and sometimes we have to challenge our children. But let's do the things that the Word of God says and trust that God will bring our kids through and the next generation will be stronger than ever. Come on. And if you don't have children or your children aren't here, that's okay. This is not meant to be at all condemning. It's simply we can encourage those that are here and trust and pray that more are going to join. God is amazing. Set its heart anew for the generation beyond. And so the reason we will always have a building fund offering, the reason it's set in the calendar each year, is our purpose is to serve God. The benefit is the inspiring good news that comes from serving God. And I want to keep telling stories, and it requires every one of us to keep living by faith, stepping out in the things God has for this particular family to achieve. Your God story is very much determined by being a part of the local house of God that you belong to. It can't happen without it. So come with me to 1 Chronicles 29 verse 1. I'll pop it on the screens because we're going to go back to Psalm 78 anyway. The work ahead of him was enormous. You know God's work's enormous. God's work's enormous. I know you think about all lots of other things during the week and stuff, but God's work is enormous. Who thinks God's got a lot of work to do still? Anyone? God's work's enormous. The work ahead of him is enormous, for the temple he will build is not just another building. Listen to me. Well, what the writer says, not into me too, but I'm not trying to be bossy. The work ahead of him is enormous, for the temple he will build is not just another building. It is for the Lord God himself. What we do when we bring an offering like this on March 30, we rely on God more, but what we are actually saying is we're doing something to increase the chances of God building his kingdom on earth. That's a good reason to give, isn't it? So I love that. But you know, if we're really going to champion this cause, it's more about the power of God in our own life because we can see that God is in our world. See, I don't know if too many people, we've got to start stepping out. I'm so grateful because I see myself, I've been talking to a couple of the groups here, I see myself a bit like a Peter. I'm prepared to take the odd risk. And you know, Peter stepped out of the boat and he looked at Jesus and he walked on water, at least, even if it was just for 2 steps. I'm thinking, I'll be with Peter. I love that. At least he had a go. And we might drown and we might need Jesus to lift us up again, but at least we've had a go. And so I want to say again, how big is our God? How big is our God? Come on, shout it. How big's God? Big? Enormous? Is there a word that's bigger than enormous? Huge? Gigantic? He's big. What's his limit? No limit? We're only limited. We're only limited by ourselves, aren't we, as well? I'm getting it. Infinite. Oh, you Rhodes Scholar, you? My goodness, Jane. God's amazing. And so, let me tell you a little bit more about our story, which affects my family a little bit, but I'm not going to embarrass my kids. Both here this morning. In 2003, I was looking back through the records. In 2003, Don Campanella, the owner of the, which you would have seen on the video, called the affectionately the Cave, which is on the corner of Hampton Road and Ray Avenue. They're doing it up as a doctor's surgery at the moment. He suggested that he was going to sell the building. This is in 2003. It didn't seem like a wise move to me, nor to our board. Greg Moore was on the board at that time and a couple of others. And Dom Sinek. And you know, it's good to have wise people too. Let me just, you know, Dom Sinek, you're an awesome man, wherever you are. He doesn't like attention, but he's just been faithful and wise and helped me all these years. And it didn't seem wise to move because we, as a church, and this is, I guess, where you need a leader to get out of our comfort zone at times, right? You know, I think this is a figure we've used because we think it's pretty accurate, about $30,000 in the bank. And it didn't seem enough. Around 70 members, you saw on the video, you know, it was pretty full up there in that, and so we needed to do something anyway. But I knew God was wanting more. He didn't want us to just stay at that level. Back when you're about 70 people, you normally rock up every week because it's kind of like, well, you want to have a good time together. It's more family atmosphere. It's not like now where, you know, but not anymore because we're all going to come to church every week, right? 1 Chronicles 22:5, David says this. The temple of the Lord must be, this is a New Living Translation, a magnificent structure, famous and glorious throughout the world. What a cool scripture. Who likes that scripture? I love it. Because in another translation, it says the temple should be in an abundant, exceedingly abundant, famous and glorious house, another version says. Exceedingly abundant, famous and glorious house. You know, God wants his church to be attractive. Do you agree with me? It's attractive because we're attractive. Because we mean business with God, it means that we are attractive to others. And so it's really all of us to shoulder the responsibility, I guess, and really champion the cause and the vision of the house of God, because that's what makes it attractive to others and builds his kingdom. It was around this time that Andrew and I were comfortable, 2003, it was probably a bit later, 2004, 2005, something like that. And I was still lawn mowing because I remember getting a lawnmower pinched from my garage, which didn't have a garage door at the time. And felt like I'd say, you know, you're pretty comfortable. Andrew and I were looking around, I'd worked pretty hard, and Andrew had a job as well. Felt like God say, you know, why don't you shift? You know, God wanted us to move somewhere else. So we started looking around, and we bought this, some of you know this story. And we found this ramshackled old place, which is still standing today and looks better. That's because we were there for a while, about 5 years, 6 years. And we bought a place in South Fremantle. We never thought we'd be able to live in South Fremantle. Real estate was pretty expensive. It was before the GFC. And without going into too many details, that created a larger vision for Andrew and I and our team to go, you know what, if that cost that much money, and then this building came up, which was nothing like it is today. Who was here in the original days when, just put your hand up, who was here? Marg and Kay, beautiful. Obviously, Charlie and Helen and Greg and Caroline came at that time, and a few, but not many, really. And went back in that day, you know, this building came up and it was just a shell. It was just the outside walls. There was a toilet block where the training room was. That was, well, let's not, it was undesirable. And no walls, nothing, no childcare centre. It's amazing what God can do when you step out of the boat and go, we want to build the kingdom of God. And it's 11 families. I mean, some of those were solo mums. I champion like Suzanne Parkinson, who's running Kids Church today and helped with young adults I saw last night. Her life turned around. She wouldn't be doing anything else now. These are stories of the faithfulness of God as we build God's church. See, God's got plans. God's got bigger plans that we can see. Right here this morning, a lot of us have shifted location. We may have shifted countries. And I feel like God wants to say to you this morning, and God has provided for you. You know the hand of God. I'm grateful. We live in a blessed country. We're glad you're here. If Andrea had her way, she'd have a sticker, unlike many stickers that go around, and said, welcome, come in. The ongoing legacy is determined by what we do now, what we do next with our life. See, we can become comfortable, we can become complacent, or we can soldier on for God. Because that's the way I see it. Someone's got to be the general. In many ways, someone's got to put the vision in front of the people. But I want to see the great provision of God in your life and mine. Because He will provide. God will provide for your life over and over again. And in the connection with this psalm, in Psalm 78, it's about how God provided for His people after the exodus from slavery. He cared for them. It's written in history through this psalm and other passages of Scripture. Birds came from the east and the west winds and all that. And they weren't just because there was no food. They were in the middle of the desert. And this is the Israelites. Now, it says in the Bible there's 600,000 men. It can be pretty much assumed. Most commentators will tell you there's at least a couple of million people. Birds came in such numbers that they piled up against each person's tent. They had plenty of food. Moses would hit a rock, and water would come pouring out. In this psalm, it talks about so much water, it formed a river. Well, you'd need a lot of water for 2 million people, right? And so these are the miracles of God, the power of God at work. And right here, right now, God has been a blessing to Australia. God is in a season of we have plenty. Even if we don't have as much as the next person, just stop comparing anyway, because that's a bad move. Just look at yourselves and look to God and go, I thank you for my position in life right here, right now. I thank you for what you have provided in my life up until this point in time. I'm grateful that I'm no longer in a camp in Guinea. I'm grateful that I am no longer unemployed. I'm grateful that I am no longer as sick as I used to be. I'm grateful that I have found a church where I can be loved and honored and be involved in the kingdom building purposes of God in my life. I know that I have purpose here today. Come on. But the Bible says in verse 32, they refuse to believe in His miracles. It's quite, I don't get my head around it. they started complaining. And then I think, well, sometimes church can be like that. We try so hard, but there's people that, oh, well, you know, but what about this and what about that? And, you know, all sorts of things can happen. There was a story when we were going for our final council approval. I'm not going to go into all the details for the sake of time this morning, but it depended on this one meeting. And in that meeting, Pastor John had come down and he was praying his heart out. I could tell he wanted us to get that approval. It was our last opportunity. But all those weeks before, there had been people, there had been voices saying, maybe it's not the will of God. Maybe it's this, maybe it's that. You see, when God leads his people and says there's going to be a future, there is going to be a future. And we have to, sometimes we have to be aware that the enemy has schemes and plans to put us off building his church and his kingdom. And I'm saying that come March 30, we're putting all those things aside and we're saying, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for who I am, I'm going to pray, I'm going to trust God, I'm going to rely on God these next 12 months. And I'm going to see God move in my life, and I'm going to determine that I will prioritize God. And everything else will come underneath. Yes, I've got to pay my school fees. Yes, I've got to pay the power bill. Yes, 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 you do. We're all the same. We've got to determine our priorities. Is God worth it? Church, is God worth it? God is calling. He was calling the people of Israel to account for their lives. And God is calling us to account for our lives. He is the source of supply. He's the power. He's the one that he wants to build out his life. We would build our lives around his. It's going to take a few extra minutes this morning, but let me say this. Remain faithful to God. Turn to your neighbor. Remain faithful to God. Psalm 78, verse 8, it says this: then they will not be like their ancestors, stubborn, rebellious, and unfaithful, refusing to give their hearts to God. There's no one here like that, is there? I love some of the way that, you know, the Bible just says it, how it is. Let's be faithful to God by attending church. Let's be faithful to God in bringing our tithes and offerings. Let's be faithful to God because there's a vision greater that God has for us, because he is enormous. He is large. He is infinite. What were some of the other words? Anyway, he's big. 11 to 13. Goes on about the, I think, he, you know, this psalm's in there to remind us about our lives. They forgot what he had done, the wonderful miracles he had shown them. It goes on, he divided the sea before them and led them through. The water stood up like walls beside them. God is reminding the people of how powerful he is, and yet they forgot his miracles. How easy it is it, honestly, to forget what God's done? You know, you can have a great day one day. I can do it here, you know. You can have a great day on a Sunday and the next day you're depressed. What's that about? You've got to recognize too that there's an enemy that's trying to hold us back from the future. The God future, let me call it that. And so we have to shake some of that stuff off and recognize who God is by remaining faithful to him. You know, so many of these good news stories are about that. Let me tell you something else. It was around this time when we were going for this building, which we've now had since 2006, which I'm totally grateful for. But when we were going through all this, I think it was about a 2 to 3 year period of, I guess it was a struggle with council and with vendors trying to buy the building and all sorts of things. We even made the paper a few times. It was fun. Around that time, something really strange happened to me. I was normally I'm reasonably fit and healthy, still am. But during that period of time, I got so close to being admitted to hospital, it wasn't funny. They kept doing tests on me, they couldn't work out because I was in immense pain. And you know, once we pushed through and we got the building, guess what happened? I got better. You've got to remain faithful to God regardless of what's going on in your life. And, you know, sometimes leaders will take some of those hits. You'd be grateful for that in some ways. There was other stuff going on in the family, and it was just, you know, this stuff that we warfare for, because it's not about this earth, it's about eternity and people's lives being transformed forever. And I don't know how to say it any other way, except I'm so grateful that I have been given the opportunity to bring a person, and if you like, or many people through this church into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and their life turned around. We're all a part of that. I'm simply the leader, but we all are part of that together. That's worth it. Will you keep standing with me? Whoever you are today, let's keep standing. Let's keep believing. You don't want to be where you are. I don't think I ever wanted to, you know. One time we'd had a week off and I was with my son who was a lot younger and we'd gone surfing and I got out of the water and I could not actually get up. I was stuck like this for a while. Just Jared goes to me, "You all right, Dad?" "Yeah, I'm fine." I never knew what was wrong. Once we got through and we battled through the building and we won, everything dissipated. I'm back to normal again. Come on, together. Together we can do this. Moses raised the staff. What happened? Moses raised his staff. What happened? The seas parted. Now, this is a reality. Don't listen to you. I don't know what kind of school you're brought up in, but some people tell you it's just a story. No, it's not a story. It's not a story. This is real. This is 2 million people. They're at the edge of destruction. Egypt's on their back. What are the people saying? "Moses, why did you bring us out here? We could have died in Egypt. Now you're going to die out here in the middle of nowhere." Someone's got to lead the people. Someone's got to stand up. Stand with us today. Let's be united. And when Moses put up his staff, the seas parted. And suddenly they went, "Come on. Come on, Moses. Yeah, we're with you." See, we can be fickle. We can not know what we believe in. But I tell you one thing. Let's get trust in God. Let's keep believing in him. Let's keep believing in the future that God has for each and every one of us. He's not going to let you down. He's not going to let you suffer beyond your means. He is going to bring his purposes to pass. And through it, you are going to see the faithfulness of God in your own life. You will have good news. Let me finish with this last thing. Gee, I had a lot of notes. See, Satan is already at war. He's trying to break the supply lines down already. Look at this scripture. I've got to finish with this. This is beautiful. 2 Corinthians 8:2. 2 Corinthians 8:2. This is the rich generosity of the Macedonians, but there's another scripture I want to look at. I'll find it in a minute. "Though they had been going through much trouble and hard times, their wonderful joy and deep poverty overflowed in rich generosity." See, the Macedonians understood the power of God. And there are challenges, there are things that happen in our lives. And there's a passage in Paul. Well, here it is, 1 Thessalonians 2:18. Paul is planting churches. Whenever you plant churches, there's going to be opposition. Who'd like to see this house grow? Who'd like to see, this church expand maybe to other areas? How does that happen? Because we champion the cause of God regardless. And here in this scripture, there's an 1 Thessalonians 2:18. We wanted to come to you, Paul is saying to the Thessalonians, again and again, but Satan hindered us. The word translated hindered is a military term. It describes the breaking up of bridges and roads to make an invading army's progress as slow as possible. Satan was engaged in such an activity here in Fremantle, but many of us that were here in those times, we said, no, we're going to keep serving God. He is going to give us breakthrough. Whoever's been here for a while, we need to thank them for persevering and being faithful to God in the purpose that we now are seeing in reality. Who believes God's got more for C3 Fremantle? So don't think it's too hard. Realize there's an enemy. And if your supply line seems to be drying out, go to God. And don't forget, this is not about the March 30. This is about the next 12 months relying on God. Father, today I pray that we will be a people that are determined to set our hearts on you. As David was, Father, Lord, as he built an exceedingly abundant, famous and glorious house, I pray that this house will be known as an amazing place because of who you are in our lives. And together we shoulder the responsibility in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Have an awesome week. We will see you. Let's...